E1.
Number 4B.
So we will see that we will find those structural laws that rule the textbook, that rule the Bible, that rule the one infinite being. The next definition is from Professor Amar, who is very much interested in the whole question of structure and structuralism. He's from Paris, from the Sorbonne in Paris. He defined in one of his articles structure like this. He said, a structure is the sum total of relationships. See, it's not just one relationship. Remember we had in our developing sense of spiritual consciousness, we had first the atomistic sense, and then as the next one, the linear consciousness. Say, the days of creation which show a definite linear development. Now that already gives a relationship. Namely, it defines the relationship of creative vision, of creativity, starting from the first day and leading in a definite way to the seventh day. So that is already a relationship. But it's not yet structure. Structure means the sum total of relationships, so that we have to investigate all the fundamental relationships within the whole. Again, I read, a structure is the sum total of relationships which maintains the communication among the various parts of a whole. We'll see that at the end of this week very nicely when we try to take the cybernetic sense of structure and do some flow charts on the chart, where we see, say, in practice, in the treatment, how the sum total of relationship is activated, namely so that it maintains the communication, the spiritual communication, among the various parts of the whole, which naturally would be among the various aspects that is under consideration in the treatment, the various counter-suggestions that come up in the treatment, and so that we see that one part is related to the other parts within a whole. Yes, this is what structure can mean. There are a lot of definitions. I have a whole series of definitions. But fundamentally, I think with these few, we touched the main point. And you see that structure is that which is not interested in analyzing parts and looking at parts and trying to comprehend parts and pieces. Structure has to do with the very opposite, namely the whole, and see how the whole dominates each part. Now, you know that very well, say, from music, even if one doesn't know much about music, as I don't know about music, I know nothing about music, but I know so much that, say, somebody who listens to music, he can detect what is Mozart, and he can detect what is Beethoven, and he can detect what is Bach, and he can detect what is Haydn, and what is Brahms. Perhaps if he has a very good musically structured feeling, he can even detect after the first line if it's Bach or if it's not Bach, if it's Mozart or if it's not Mozart. Why can he do that? Because this is just what happens in music. Say that a composer. Oh, I have here a doctor of music. My word, I shouldn't go on this field now. That a composer of music has a certain type within himself. And that type, that whole, which is unique to himself, is translated constantly to every composition he makes. And within the composition, to every piece and part of that composition. Am I right, Jim? Oh, more or less, huh? Okay. Yeah. You see, it shows really that just one little part which you may play can already give you the interpretation of the whole, or telling you at least what type of the whole is in the part. And therefore, putting it the other way around, the one who plays, say, Mozart, he has to play it like Mozart and not like Beethoven. In other words, he cannot just play tones. What makes Mozart to sound like Mozart? Am I still on the right track, Jim? Is that he can give to every tone the tone of the whole. He must have a sense of the whole, the type of the whole. He must be Mozartian. Can you say Mozartian? He must be Beethovenian, if he wants to play Beethoven. So that really in each tone, in each part, you can feel the whole in it. And that makes, I guess, a good musician. That's on account of structure. You can see the parts, the tones, the individual tones. You can play very distinctly. You can have it electronically or mechanically played, but it doesn't sound like Beethoven. It sounds like electronics or like mechanics. Though the tones are right, but the relationship between them, the atmosphere between them, the combination, the flow between them, the touch between them, all that which is not written in tones, that makes the real type and, I think, the real music. I'll get away from that. I get on difficult ground, huh, Jim? Yes. All right. But that's really in the science of being. And actually, when one begins to read the textbook that way, you see, then you don't read a sentence in the textbook. You always read the sentence within the whole textbook. Because when one knows the whole structure of the textbook, then each sentence takes its proper interpretation, because you have, as we have seen, a wider range, a higher order. We have not just that sentence, but we know the tone of the chapter. We know the tone of the chapter within the whole textbook and the place value of each chapter within the whole textbook. And therefore we give, therefore in reading and interpretation, we give therefore to each sentence, to each paragraph, really the right tone. And in that way, as we could show, if we would have another week's time, we could show what the wealth of insight and deeper insight we get when reading the text as structure. Yes. You know, structure is a terrific word today. It is a term that has not been used very much up to, say, recently. When I say recently, I would say up until the last 10 years or so. Before that time, the sciences were not interested in structure. They were interested in analysis, really. We are still much too much really under the impression and impact of the Greek scientists, of the Greeks that were interested in splitting up the whole, splitting until they would come to the last unsplittable part, which is the atom. Atom, the A is a prefix which means not or free from, really, free from, and tom means part, free from parting. That's the atom, the last particle, so to say, or unit that can no more be split up. So the Greeks really introduced a line of scientific thinking which was directed towards analysis, analyzing something to the last part. And you can easily see that structuralism just wants to do the very opposite. That structuralism wants to keep the whole as a whole. And though they may be interested in the analysis of the whole, they want to see the parts as a part of the whole. As a part of the whole. Because they see something very interesting. You know, structure and structuralism is an awfully interesting subject. Because they see one thing, that the whole is not the sum total of its part. We used to learn in school, and we had to learn that very strictly, that the whole is never bigger than the sum total of its parts. That came right from the Greek thinkers. And it's wrong. Today they find out that this is completely wrong. That the whole is much bigger than the sum of its parts. This phenomenon is also called synergy. Synergy and the synergetic effect. And here in this country you have Bucky Fuller, who is talking his head off on synergy and synergetic effects. And he really has made a good case of waking up people to the fact that they must see that the whole is bigger than putting all the parts together. Why is it bigger? Because the whole is the parts plus relationship. So only accumulating the parts and making a heap of the parts without relationship doesn't give a whole. Only that immaterial principle, which is called relationship, it's an immaterial principle. It's an ordering principle. Only that ordering principle is that which gives to the whole something much more than the sum total of its parts. Take, for instance, the human body, and you put it into parts, and if you are not shocked, you see, I could say, well, here is a table, and we lay out here an ear, and here an eye, and here a nose, and here a kidney, and here a heart, and here a stomach, and here a liver, and here this, and that, and the other, and every part of the whole human body is nicely laid out. Not one part is missing. Is that some total of the parts of the human body? You see, it isn't. Huh? Only if those parts are in true relationship, if the nose is not down with the toe, and if the heart is not somehow connected with the knee or so, huh? If it's related properly, then you have body. In other words, organs, when related properly, become not an accumulation of organs, but they become something new. A higher order, namely a body. This is one example of just figuring out why structure is so much a bigger concept than what exact science up to recently has been interested in, namely to investigate more and more the parts. And therefore specializing, and you know the great tendency today is how to put things together again. How to see always the whole and never lose sight of the whole. Structure puts great stress on the immaterial principle of ordering. One of the nice examples that is given about structure In that well-known book of Kepish about structure in art and science, an architect gives that nice illustration and says, look at the nice Roman bridge, for instance, you know, those 2,000-year-old bridges which we have over in Europe. They are so strong, built of a lot of massive stones, and just strong enough so that their army, which consists of footmen and perhaps horses and perhaps here and there a wagon, just could carry it. Very strong material, a lot of material. Today you can build a bridge with much less material and build it much stronger. That which makes it stronger is out of two components. One component is to find the true relationship of the material. If one can put the material in proper relationship, you can make that bridge much stronger than those heavy, massive, solid Roman bridges. You can make them very elegant, span over a great distance, just by knowing relationships. He says, we may rely on the accumulated strength and mass of assembled materials. But with a structural change, that is a change of arrangement, which distributes its material in another manner, the same end may be achieved in a more elegant fashion, so that we get greater strength through structural changes. So you can see strength and power is not just a matter of material mass, but in addition to that, structural arrangement. So that suddenly a immaterial principle becomes power, a strength. So we can see that in the science of being two, we can see that it is really relationship and better relationship between the fundamentals of being that gives us greater strength, greater power, greater conviction, a greater vision. Bhakti Fuller puts it that way when he talks about synergy. He says, to get more and more with less and less. That's the synergetic principle. That with less and less we can get more and more if we know relationship, order, structure. So that in consciousness, if we have a better sense of a spiritually structured consciousness, we get a better insight into reality than if we use the old paradigm of atomistic thinking. And in this way, structure and structuralism really becomes a very strong point in the science of being. Yes, I have a lot of notes on structure, but I perhaps just want to bring out one or the other point about structure. Namely, I quote from that book again, where White says, we are moving away from the classical science of simplicity, he really means of atomistic thinking, towards a modern science of ordered complexity. Ordered complexity is structure. We are replacing the older concept of atomism with a newer concept of structure. This is in a very short statement what we really are interested in. But he says that about every science and art is a tendency to get away from atomistic thinking to structural thinking. He says, atomism means reduce everything to discrete unit factors. See, to reduce to unit factors, to statements. You know, a clergyman does that. He takes a unit factor, namely a verse from the Bible, or perhaps five verses or a little story from the Bible, and then he delivers a big, long, nice sermon on that. That's what is a discrete unit factor. An atomist investigates their properties. Structure, he says, is something else. It is form. It responds to form and neglects analysis. You see, that's what I said before. We do not need to have really a good memory in order to understand the signs of being. We do not need that because we do not need to rely on thousands and thousands of facts, of analytical facts. What we really need is really structure. This is a good statement from a physicist. He says, today we investigate structures and not, in hyphens, substances. We investigate structures and not substances. Look at the whole development of Christian Science. It's all investigating what he puts into quotation mark, into quotation mark substances. You know, it's all about asking what is the true idea about this and that and the other. Whenever a situation arises which may be inharmonious, then the Christian Science is asking himself, well, what is the true idea about this point, this fact, this piece, this substance? It's quite different when we have the modern sense, namely, this is quite generally a new attitude in contrast to the substantialistic thinking of classical metaphysics. See, the substantialistic thinking of classical metaphysics is really what we have been witnessing in Christian Science, and say, well, what is the truth about this? What is the truth about that? What is the truth about this? How shall I look at this and that and the other? As if these experiences or these things were isolated atomistic facts, either as counterfeits or as facts, and looking at them in such a analytical way instead of in a structural way. Again, we see that the ordering is the weak spot in present knowledge. But it seems that the stage has been reached, say, between 1900 and 1960, when a science of ordered complexity is taking over from the classical science of simplicity. Again, you have a statement showing that in the whole world there is a great switch, a great switching over taking place from the simplicity and the simplistic sense of parts and pieces to the more complex view of structure, to see everything within the whole, and that only when it is seen within the whole it really makes sense. What we need to know, says another one, what we need is to know more of the rules of ordering that determine the functional stability and efficiency of the whole. Terrific. We'll see that the whole week. That what we need is to know the rules of ordering. See, that's relationship. How to relate those facts of being, like the seven synonymous terms, like the four sides of the holy city, how to order those things and to know the rules of ordering. That alone determines the functional stability. See, that we can have a functional stability, a stability in change. Not the stability in statics, but the stability in change, which is a great question. How can we have an infinite that never repeats itself, that is constantly changing, and yet, though there are changes, to have complete stability? Because all what we want is stability and not instability. We want stability is harmony. Instability is inharmony. Here is a statement that perhaps is a bit more difficult to understand, but much deeper. It says, organization, and an organization, we don't mean a human organization, but the modern concept of organization as one has it in cybernetics, organization is a principle which cannot be traced back to the two categories of energy and matter. You know, the two categories which one has in the world is matter, energy. And today they find out that there is a third category. And that third category is organization. It is itself an independent magnitude. Neither energy nor substance. But the third, which expresses itself through the degree and the kind of order. Perhaps you are familiar with negative entropy. Bucky Fuller is constantly talking about negentropy. So it shows that even in the human field, the material field, they begin to see that not energy or matter are really the two great categories of the universe, but that more essential is organization. Namely, relationship, how they are related to each other. And organization is an immaterial principle. And so the switch comes more and more from the material to the immaterial.